Again, it's a great blessing to be in the house of the Lord. I'm very thankful to see each and every one of you. And I'd ask that you continue to pray for the service, that in some way God might use what I speak on this morning to edify you, to exhort you, to lift you up, that we might continue to have a great desire in our hearts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder sometimes when you got up this morning, if you had a good night's rest, were you really excited to come to the house of the Lord? I mean, are you zealous to serve the only true and living God, the one who has given you everything that you have in life? Have you ever noticed somebody in life, and I certainly have from time to time, that they have a bounce in their step, they have a smile on their face, they seem to love the Lord, and they rejoice every day that they live, and you think to yourself, wouldn't you like to have a little bit of that? There are folks like that. There are folks who are so focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ that if you're around them a while, it'll rub off on you. And that's the way God's people ought to be everywhere. Because every day is a blessing, and the very life that we live and the air that we breathe at this moment is a blessing of God's mercy to us. Regardless of what trials or afflictions you may have in your life or challenges that may confront you from day to day, we have a great blessing in just being alive. I mean, we really do. You know, I want to continue my thoughts in the book of Ecclesiastes, and pray that the Lord would bless me this morning in doing so. Solomon is so representative of each and every one of us. You might say, well, I didn't have his money and I didn't have his wisdom, but I'll tell you, the challenges and the temptations that confronted Solomon were no different then than they are now. And that's why this book is so important, I believe, to each and every one of us, that we might understand what Solomon went through. You know, I've noticed sometimes when you study the Word of God and you talk about Job or you talk about Joshua or any of these patriarchs of the Old Testament, if you're not careful, you have a tendency to think, well, that was way back in another age and way back in another time. But you know, we serve a God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His truth is as relevant today as it was in the day of Solomon. Matter of fact, if you will study God's Word, you will be amazed at the comparisons you find in the life that you live here and now. We begin in the chapter 2, but we want to make some things clear here. First of all, Solomon uses the word "I" here many times. Matter of fact, you're going to find out one of the themes in this chapter is he's overtaken by the me, myself, and I syndrome. You know, sometimes we get that way in life. We get lifted up in pride, and we think about all the great and grand accomplishments that we've made in life, the money that we made, and in the process of doing this, we often forget it is God who has blessed us to have everything that we have. The one thing I want you to understand, and we need to understand about Solomon, he started out, I believe, as close to walking down that straight and narrow path as you could get in life. But there's a great warning here to you and I that just because you walk down that path and have that close communion with God doesn't necessarily guarantee, under any conditions, that's where you're going to be at every day that you live in the world. Solomon certainly didn't stay there, did he? You know, he was in a state of humility, as I stated before. He was as humble as a little child, and he was near to the Lord at that time. The Bible tells us to draw near to God. He was. He was on that straight and narrow. When the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you," I tell you, you can look at Solomon. I believe he sought first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. He didn't ask for all the beautiful things of life, the money, the wealth, the long life, the life of his enemies. All he asked was, "God, help me to lead such a great people." And I'm paraphrasing that a little, but I mean, it was a task that just overwhelmed him. It's a task that overwhelmed many of us, especially as a young person, to be king over a great nation. But just as David was when he went up against Goliath, he was humbled. He knew the battle wasn't his. He knew the battle was the Lord's. And I can tell you, when the Lord's in the matter, It makes all the difference in the world. When Solomon here in chapter 2 begins to say, I did this and I did that and on, I want you to understand that I don't believe that Solomon, this was premeditated. And when I say premeditated, I don't believe Solomon sat down at some point in his life and said, you know, I sought first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and in that time, he has blessed me beyond all measure. He opened up the windows of heaven, and I've received so many blessings that I don't know where to put them. I think I'll just stop right here now, and I'll go out here, and I'll see what life can give me aside from God. Now, I'll grant to you that this is the way the story ended, but I believe that Solomon here could be writing his own biography at the end of his life, or just reflecting back upon what happened to him. The warning, as I stated unto you, was that we can start out with a great relationship with the Lord, but if we don't stay with it, continue in prayer, we got to be careful. You know what Jesus told the disciples? He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Why did he say that? He told his disciples that. Is that a possibility for you and I? If we don't watch, if we're not on guard, and we don't pray, that we might enter into temptation? Indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This story of Solomon is a story that many of us could probably paint of our own lives in principle. It doesn't matter whether you were elevated to his level of wealth or his level of wisdom, but the temptations and the problems that came about in his life are many of the same things that can come about in our lives that can draw us away from God, can tempt us. And I'll tell you right now, our flesh is every bit as weak as Solomon's was. We find here in chapter 2 that he uses the word I. He got so far away from God that he began to tell us that he done this. See, I think in his journey from his youth and being king over Israel, and all the fame and the glory of the nation of Israel and the wealth and people coming to check out his wisdom, and all this led Solomon to fall into these conditions. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Because oftentimes the more the Lord blesses us, unfortunately, if we're not careful, the further away from God we get. There's a lot of truth in that, and that's exactly what happened to Solomon. In this chapter, he begins in the first 11 verses to test life. There's a lot of us who went out and tested life, I believe. But when he gets to the conclusion of most of these things, he finds that there's not a lot of satisfaction, that it's emptiness. I stated several weeks ago that he used the word vanity over 38 times. He gets to the end of many of the tasks that he journeyed down. And see, what we need to understand is Solomon's went down this road. God knew that you and I very easily could travel down this road. Take the same journey that he took. Be tempted by the same temptations in life. And this was given to us that we might not fall into those temptations. We might not end up on a dead-end street or a one-way road that goes nowhere. And without the Lord, that's where you're headed. And the Bible was not written to make you children of God. It was written to those who are children of God. For our edification, for our understanding. You know, there's not any of us want to get to a point in life where we say, well, there's just not any benefit to life. There's no goodness in life. Now remember, Solomon is taking a view of life under the sun. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Sometimes if we don't keep that in mind, we get confused and we think that Solomon thought there was nothing in life good. But the view that Solomon is taking is a view where he departed the only true and living God. He forsake the Lord and went his own way and done his own thing. Many of God's children have done that themselves. We find that he tested life. We find in verses 12 through 23 that Solomon really began to hate life. Have you ever seen anybody? I have. They're so disturbed with life, they're so stressed out, they've got so many problems that they really hate life. Sometimes if it's a child of God, and I've seen many of God's children, I wish the Lord had come back. Now that'll be a grand and glorious day, and I wouldn't have a problem if he came back right now. But a lot of people say that in the light of the fact that they're living a miserable life. They got no happiness, they got no joy. Maybe it's because we've tried to live life and we tried to walk through life without the Lord. It's going to be an empty walk. It's going to be a place that comes to a dead end. And you're not going to satisfy the soul. I can tell you right now, the heart and soul of a child of God cannot be satisfied by the things of this world. I don't care how many attempts you make, and I'll assure you, I've attempted it. And many people in this world have attempted to satisfy the longing of the soul with the material goods of this world. But as the rich man was spoken of in Luke chapter 12, this night thy soul will be required of thee. God told that man he was a fool. Solomon's going to deal with foolishness here too. But we get to the last three verses of the chapter, I believe it is, and we find that Solomon accepted life. He accepted God's provision in his life, and we're actually to enjoy the blessings of life. Now, let's read the first three verses. He said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is all vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, which is foolishness, till I might see what was the good, what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. In other words, if God's not in the picture and not a part of your life, even though you are a child of God, if you went your own way and done your own thing, if you went through the wide gate and the broad way that leadeth to destruction, we're going to end at a dead-end road. We're going to end on a path that's going nowhere. And you're not going to be satisfied. You know, the Bible tells us that with pleasures, even the pleasure of sin can be satisfying for a season, but that too shall end. We notice here that Solomon brings up two thoughts, laughter and wine. I'm not here to preach a sermon on drinking, but the Bible says a little wine is good for the stomach, to do all things in moderation. Can you imagine Solomon in his palace, in his banqueting hall, eating the best of food, drinking the most choice wine? And if you read the last half of verse 8, you'll find that he had the best entertainment. Does that sound familiar to any of us today? How many of us like the best food we can buy and the choicest wine that we could drink? Now, I know a lot of you want to tell me you've never had any such a thing, and I'll let that be, but the point being is, I'm being honest, you know, and we like good entertainment. We're not that much different, Solomon, are we? He liked the good things of life. But he found out that when the party was over, it just didn't satisfy him. You notice here he says, I will prove thee with mirth. The word mirth means, it means tremendous feelings of pleasure. It also brings the thought of noise. When I read and look at that definition, it reminds me of the party times. You know, that's another thing most of us have had some experience with somewhere back in our life, is a good party. We all like to go party. We all like the party atmosphere where it's noisy and everybody's having a good time. And you know, I don't have to explain to you what goes on there. But Solomon thought, I'm going to try this out. I'll see if this is the fulfilling part of life that I'm seeking. Is this what man lives for? Is this his purpose here on the earth? He said it was vain. It was empty. The problem is, we live in a society that is pleasure mad. Now, I'm not here. Remember, we're taking a view of living life void of God. That's the view that Solomon had, and that's where he ended up. As time went on, he moved further and further away from God. And if you don't believe you can't do that, you need to think again. If we're not in tune with God and communing with God and praying unto God, we can be like Solomon. We can head off in the wrong direction, and it won't be long. We're way out there in the wilderness. Solomon got that way. The temptations of life, the fame, the glory, the women, the wives. I mean, the many, many things that confront us from day to day. You know, we live, what I said, in a pleasure-mad society. Paul said in the last days that men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What we need to understand, there's nothing wrong with some pleasure or some good, innocent fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's millions of people who will spend almost any amount of money seeking something, experiences, that they can escape from the burdens that they bear in this life. Have you ever thought of that? You know, I've done that a few times. Have you ever had troubles in your life or a burden in your life? And you think, well, I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to go here, there, and yonder, and I'm going to escape this. But we don't escape it. It is the God of heaven who satisfies our soul, the longing that we have inside us. And he give us the gift of life, but we need to walk hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ and not at a distance, not apart from him. Solomon did this in the beginning of his life. But as he got to the latter end of his life, he had departed God. And you know, if it hadn't been for the promise that God had made to Solomon on behalf of his father David, God would have wiped the whole kingdom out from him. He left him with the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, the house of David, because of the promise he made unto David. You know, sometimes those who went before us in life, we're reaping the benefits of their obedience. You may not realize it and recognize it, but sometimes that's exactly what's happening. Solomon here, he said, I saw of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Solomon intended to find out if pleasure could fulfill a man's life, pleasure alone. We know that we live in a pleasure-mad world, but I can tell you right now that pleasure will not satisfy you all your life. When you get through with the pleasure, you'll need something else. You know, if pleasure alone's what you seek, then you're going to find a great deal of emptiness in your life. You know, let's think about pleasure in another aspect. One thing I know about pleasure is, after a while, most of the time, the enjoyment will decrease with pleasure, unless the intensity of that pleasure increases. Think about that for a minute. That's how we human beings are. We go from one thing to another in life because we're seeking our joy in the wrong place. You know, pretty soon, even when you intensify that pleasure, the intensity of it increases. Pretty soon, you're going to get what I call diminishing returns. In other words, you're going to have less and less enjoyment in that pleasure, to the point that you may not have any enjoyment and you'd be totally into bondage of that pleasure. You know, you can find that in folks that drink or anything else. You know, the more people drink, the less enjoyment they have. So what do? And I'm not getting on anybody about drinking. They have to drink more drinks or drink stronger drinks. It's desire without satisfaction. But you know, you can substitute for it. It ain't just about alcohol. You can substitute drugs or sex or gambling or shopping. And I'm not in on any of these women that are shopping today, but I'm telling you, we got shopaholics in the world, and people are looking for an escape. This is exactly what Solomon went after, to see if life could be filled full and meaningful by pleasure. But I tell you right now, the joys will finally diminish. And you know, you've seen folks back to the alcoholic or to the drug addict or to many other things in life who pretty soon they are in bondage. We call it addiction in the United States of America. It's when that pleasure that you went after has control of you now. You don't have control of it. It happens. You know, when we seek pleasure alone as our fulfillment in life, you can rest assured that you're going to end up with disappointment and emptiness. For the child of God, only the God of heaven can truly give you joy. It is only God and the Lord who can satisfy the longing of the soul. There's no doubt about that. But I tell you, I've tried it. Many of God's children have tried it. We seek to fulfill those desires out here in life. Now, you know, you got to keep in mind, I'm not telling you, there's nothing wrong with some good, innocent fun. Long as it doesn't become everything to you in life and you forget the Lord who gave you the blessing. That's exactly what happened to Solomon. That's why it's so important for you and I in our success and as a nation and a people in this nation who have been blessed in a mighty way, given great liberty and the ability to, to have careers and make money and have jobs and not lose sight of who gave us these abilities and who gave us these blessings. You know, it's not about the fact that God doesn't want us to enjoy pleasure or fun or have any blessings. You know, I believe the Hebrew people believed that we were to enjoy the blessings of God's creation. I believe with all my heart, you're to enjoy life. You enjoy the gift of life. But the problem is when the enjoyment of life becomes more important to you than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when we begin to fade and go down the road that Solomon went down. He tested life first by enjoyment, then by work or labor. As we read, I want to get through this. There's more that could be preached out of this book as there are any books of the Bible, and there's no way to touch upon all of it. There's no man that'll ever be able to touch upon all of it. But the miracle of preaching is the fact that God can use a message to benefit a tremendous amount of His people in many different ways. I think about Wednesday night when we talk about preaching. I'll get back to my topic. We talked about on the day of Pentecost in Acts when there were 120 devout men there, and Peter spoke in his tongue, but every man heard in his own tongue. Do you know that God, if He blesses a man to preach, that there can be numerous messages received out in a congregation among God's people that are beneficial to them and not be anywhere close to the same? That's the miracle of it. We want God's word to be a benefit to us. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. God has given us His word to furnish us with life and what will happen to us in life if we follow His word and we're obedient to His teachings. He also tells us, as He does here in Ecclesiastes, if we veer off the beaten path, if we go through the wide gate and the broad way, we decide to go it alone, He shows us where we're going to end up. We're going to end up in a place where there's no satisfaction, where there's no fulfillment, and just a state of emptiness, actually feeling worthless. I want to read, I made me great works, I built me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens, orchards, I planted trees in them of all kinds. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and the servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered, you get any picture here about himself? He had gotten to the state that it was all about him. He had forsaken the Lord, and actually you wonder sometimes if he hadn't forgotten the Lord. You know, he didn't intentionally do this, he didn't premeditate it, but through the course of his life, this is where he ended up. Now he's reflecting back and giving us some lessons that you and I ought to be able to take to heart and not get into that condition. He began to get lifted up in pride, and it had been a hard thing not to do if you wasn't on top of it. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased. He was great in the eyes of men, but was he great in the eyes of God? I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. You reckon we could come to that conclusion? You're going to see here in a minute that in the next verses, when Solomon gets to the point of saying, I hate life, here's a man who has a lot of wealth, who has a lot of wisdom. He has things that most of us would sit around and wish we had and desired to have all our life. And yet he'll tell you that in light of those things, there's one thing that's certain in this life, and that's death. He's going to examine his wisdom and his wealth in the light of that certainty, and that certainty is death. Throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, he brings that to light. He tells us in the 12th chapter, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We ought to remember God and labor in God's vineyard as young people. It ought to be the most important thing. Because the evil days are coming, and we got folks in this congregation that can testify to those evil days. They're not near as gold, as I said earlier, that many people had imagined. They're filled with physical difficulties sometimes and mental difficulties and all other things. But Solomon here tells us, let's read through these, and I'm going to run out of time if we don't continue on. But, and I turned myself to behold wisdom. He said, I'm going to take another view of this wisdom. And he's going to take a view of his money, a wisdom in madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? In other words, he says, what can be done that hadn't already been done? You know, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jesus said, sin will always be sin. It doesn't change today. It's no different than it ever was. Because our Lord is no different than he ever was, and his view of it's no different. And I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, or foolishness, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. What is that event? It's the event of death. We're all coming to a close in our lives. And we ought to want to spend all our days serving the Lord to the best of our ability. You know, Abraham said, we're pilgrims. This is not our home. But sometimes we drive our roots into the ground like this is our everything, our all. We live here as though this is all that matters. And we're like a puff of smoke. All of a sudden, we're gone. Life is but a moment. It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. You know, I hope that our hope is in heaven, but that we can enjoy the portion that God has given us in this life as we journey. Then I said in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise man more than the fool forever. That's an amazing thing. No matter how much you build upon this earth, once you're gone, you'll be remembered no more than the fool living down the street. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. Therefore I hated life. Solomon had all this wealth and all this wisdom, and he ruled over this great kingdom. And he knew that death was coming. And he knew that that somebody would fill his shoes. It could be a fool just as easy as it could be a wise man. And it bothered him to the point that he hated life. You know, men can get that way today if their view of life is parallel, as I said. If it's not vertical, if we're not looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, if our hope is in this life and this life only, if we live that way, then we're going to have a lot of emptiness. We're going to have a lot of times that we feel like life is worthless. And matter of fact, we can get to the point of hating life just like Solomon did, because we're not enjoying the provision that God gives us. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I leave it unto the man that shall be after me. You know, he didn't know if a good man would follow him, a wise man would follow him, a fool would follow him. But you know, when your eyes are upon the Lord, you're not going to care who follows after you, because it's all vain in this life. Our hope is not in heaven. It's not here. Therefore, we need to serve the Lord and enjoy his provision to the fullest right here now, and not worry about who follows us in this life. It's just a short time upon the earth. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For all the days are sorrows, as his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. But you know, Solomon gets down here and he says there is nothing better, as he concludes this chapter, as we spoke earlier, than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy the good in his labor. You know, Solomon delighted his labor. He built many things. He built the temple, and he spent more time building his own house. He was in charge of many projects. But when the end of those projects come and he wasn't looking unto the Lord, he had a great deal of emptiness. They were meaningless to him. I'm telling you, the heart and soul can't be fed by the things of this world. Not for the child of God. You have to be in tune and in communion with the Lord. If you're to fully enjoy this life here and now, to the best of your ability. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail together and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. As we conclude this morning, I ask you, do you truly enjoy life? Do you enjoy God's provision in your life? Are you seeking things in every manner that you can come up with to try to fulfill that emptiness in your life? I think that's what it's really about. The only fullness you're going to find is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our life. Our life is hid in Him. But Solomon warns us that we can depart the only true and living God. See, if the Bible is written to the children of God, the warnings are for you and I, and for all the generations that were behind us and the generations to come. The question is, do we take heed to what Solomon says? Or have we decided that what Solomon went through, we can go through that and it won't happen to us? You know, I believe a lot of God's children believe that. They believe, well, it's a different age and it's a different time, so I can make this work even though it's been proven wrong. Solomon says if we live life alone for pleasure, we're going to end up with disappointment and emptiness. I believe that's right. Because I don't care how good the pleasure is, when it's over, you got to have another pleasure. There's nothing wrong with that, but when that's your all in all, you're going to have an empty life. You're going to have a life that doesn't have any core to it. Our life is in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's something coming better, but we have a great life now, and we're to enjoy the portion and the blessings that God has given us now, the enjoyment of those blessings. We're to enjoy them now. And not try to cover up our life by seeking everything there is out here in the world to fulfill something that can't be filled by no one else but God. May God bless us to understand this as we journey through life. You can have a blessed life. You can have a life filled with joy. Don't let work become your God. Don't let pleasure become your God. I mean, when it controls you, it's an idol. Solomon got into this condition. And I warn you that you and I can get into that condition. We can be close to the Lord, but in 10 years, will we be close to the Lord? 20 years, will we be close to the Lord? Are you not into temptation? Watch and pray. Be on guard. To watch means be on guard because we're all susceptible. Why? Because the flesh is weak. Indeed, the Spirit is willing because the Spirit is in communion with the Holy Spirit, with the God of heaven, but the flesh is weak. May God bless us to always commune with Him, to always thank Him for His blessings, and to realize that we can go astray just as Solomon did. God bless you is my prayer this morning, and I hope you get some benefit out of the words that were spoken this morning. If there be one here that has a desire to come forward and have a home in this church, you come forward at this time, the church will assist you.